top of the morning to your Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, Holy Spirit, and good morning, Ted Lyon. Excuse me. Father God, we come before you this morning in a spirit of thanksgiving, in a spirit of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If I had 1,000,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. If I had 1,000,000 words, I would still be unable to express my gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. I bind all witchcraft intent. I bind the works of Satan according to 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. I thank you this morning, Father God, for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much this morning. Thank you. Well, brothers and sisters, today is February the 12th. So 12, 13, 14, 15. We got to make it. We're going to make it. 4 more days. You can make it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Period. Some of you were on here with me last night, and the Lord allowed you to experience him, God, and there's no limitations with him and no time constraints and all this other stuff that people have been trying to make us believe. But brothers and sisters, I'm a believer. And we are called to believe. And when I leave here, I'm going to leave here believing. No, nothing. Nothing can shake my faith or cause me to lose my faith in God because of the fact that he saved me, healed me, delivered me, showed me himself. And I know that many of you have the same witness. But you see that you have an enemy. The world has an enemy, really, to be worshipped. And doesn't care what he has to do, who he has to destroy, to bring about his own purpose on earth. But I'm going to tell you something. God is bigger than that devil because God created him. Created him. He is subject. He's been made subject. He's been defeated by Jesus. And you see, I have always believed in personal revival. Because I know that revival and outpourings and awakenings and all kinds of things like that start in the heart of believers. Jesus and one believer is the majority. But you know you have more than Jesus. You got God the Father, you got God the Son, and you got God's own Holy Spirit. And you got you. So that's way more than one believer. But it all starts with revival in the heart of an individual. Brothers and sisters, I guess I could put it like this. You ain't seen nothing revive you. Why? So that you can be the firebrand, the fire starter. Well, Erica, what fire are you talking about? I'm talking about your God. The Bible says he's a consuming fire. And all you got to do is stir that firewood up. I don't have a fire this morning. Strange. But ever since I've been in this house, I have had a fire. Brother Joe gets up and lights a fire for me every morning. And I look over there at those flames. You'll see soon, because I'll be up back up on the Roku channel as soon as we figure this out. I'm telling you, it's a slow process. Something happened on this TED line. And I hope you get, those of you that just joined us, laboring has been going on for a long time for what happened last night and for what's about to happen. And we give God praise, we give God glory, we give God honor, because it's happening where you are. And you know what else? I prayed to God. I said, God, you could do this over this internet. I said, I know you can, because there's nothing impossible for you. I know I have the anointing. So why can't we consume these airways here? That's what I said to God. And believe it or not, I said that to God in 2006. And many of you are the benefit February the 11th, 2019. But see, what that was, God was initiating your faith. God took your faith, your own faith, to another level. And God took you in a simple manner. It wasn't complicated, because God is not complicated. Man is. And man makes stuff so complicated that you miss it. And that's his intention. Because the Bible says, to whom you yield your members, that's who you serve. But brothers and sisters, Hebrews 11:1. Thank you, Father. Write this word down, Jessica, in the chat room, somebody. Now, N-O-W. N-O-W. Now, Bible says, now. That's right, Tamisha. Faith is. Now faith is. Yesterday faith was. We can't even live on what we went through last night, because it's over, gone. You got to live in the now. Now faith is the substance, the reality, tangibility of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Post this in the chat room. Tracy, believe beyond what you see. Believe beyond what you see, Tracy. According to God's word, faith is a substance. A substance can be felt, a whole lot of things. Faith is the substance. Faith is a substance, and this makes faith real. Note the fact. It says, Now, faith is the substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Note the fact, it doesn't say things that don't exist. They do exist. They do exist. They're just not seen. They do exist. You see, there is a realm of reality beyond this physical world. And as long as you continue allowing your five senses to determine your reality, you will be stopped from accessing whatever it is for you to have. Because, like I've taught this before, true faith doesn't deny physical truth. But true faith refuses to let physical truth dominate spiritual truth. Computer down, shut everything down, and said, you're going to rely on me, totally. I had to rely on the chat room to get my scriptures for me, because faith worketh according to the word of God. Faith backs up the word of God. And you see, there are many, many in the natural realm that we believe they exist even without seeing them physically. Example, while we can't physically see God, God is real, and God does exist. Put this in the chat room. And God is always moving towards you. God is always moving towards you. You just have to meet him. That's all you have to do. You just have to meet God as he is moving towards you in order for you to believe and receive the impossible. You see, last night, well, God just demonstrated this fact. That's the best way I can put it. But yes, God is always moving towards you. But you have to meet him. That's your job and my job, to meet him where he is. Because he's moving towards you to make you. Remember, to make you, he makes you. Makes me what, Erica? To believe and receive the impossible made possible through him. As he's moving towards you, he's moving his blessings towards you. He's moving his grace towards you. He's moving his belief towards you. And as a matter of fact, he's moving it towards you right now. Right at this very moment. But you got to meet him. See, last night, so much unbelief. But God met you in the middle of your pain. Because you were honest. And you gave him his word back. It's too painful for me. It's so simple. You be real with God, and he'll be realer than real with you, because he'll become your reality. Teach you how to receive. He'll make you a believer. And that's what the whole world needs. You, the believer, taking him to the unbeliever. And then the unbeliever becoming a believer and taking him to somebody else. Because God is always moving. Sometimes it really grieves me in my spirit when God gives a person something to do or some instructions or some directions, and they say, oh, I can just do it tomorrow. No, you can't. By the time tomorrow gets here, now it's gone. I hope you caught that. The Bible says now faith is. When you procrastinate, that's a spirit. When you say, I'll do it tomorrow, you missed your now. When you say, oh, I'll just put this off, you missed your now. When you think something is small or insignificant because what? You are looking at what you see, your now. Because faith is now. If God tells you, get up, go out the door and stand on the corner and of your street, and that's all he said, and you say, oh, okay, I'll do it later. You missed it. You missed your now. Because now faith is with God. Because when God gives you something, it's already been prepared on the left side. It's already been prepared from the right side. And all God needs you to do is step in it. But when you say, oh, I'll do it later, you missed it. I hate to have to tell some of you this, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Said to me yesterday, he said, go up there and take pictures of that van house. He said, I want you to stand on that property. I want you to bind and rebuke the usurper. I said, what? He said, and then this other minister called me and said, well, if you go up there, right by there is something called God's Acre. I said, okay, what is that? She said, well, the Moravians, you all know about Count Zindorf and the Moravians, right? How they came over here from Germany seeking religious freedom and how they prayed over there in North Carolina. It's an area called Moravian Falls, where if you go up to Moravian Falls, they say, and you go out in those woods, because the Moravians prayed 100 years up there. 100 years they prayed. That's half of the history of, well, that's about a third, I guess, now. Almost half of the history of the United States of America. And the only thing I heard when we went up there, because we go up there and pray, because they got a falls there. And it was interesting because the last time we went, the guy who does the baptism in the Jordan River in Egypt was up there. And he was baptizing people in the falls. And guess what? Including myself, get rebaptized in the Moravian Falls by the guy who does the baptizing at the Jordan River in Israel, because they don't allow just anybody to baptize people. I didn't know that, but I know it from that guy now. So that's why I personally haven't gotten baptized at the water over in Dawsonville, but everybody else has. But anyway, so there was a cemetery across the street from the van house where all these missionaries were buried that came from Moravia to teach the Indians how to read, teach them, I think it was geology, math, English. And I found out something else, that Chief Van Gianney, prior to the Indian people, Indian Nation, Cherokee and Creek, with some Creek too, having to walk that trail of tears. Chief Van refused Christianity, and he wanted to, which is his choice. But the Moravians still stayed there, preaching Christ, right across, working with, because he brought them. He's the one that sent for them to come and teach his people. And then when they offered him Christianity, he himself rejected it. So the Lord said, just go up there and break the power of rebellion and come against and walk that land. Just walk it. Just walk it. Just put your feet on it and walk it. And we did. And you see what happened last night. God rewards you, brothers and sisters. God rewards obedience. Because God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, there's some people heading over here this morning. And one person really, really needs prayer. They've been attacked through their cultural inheritance or lineage, and they're going to go over to the oil. This, when they're here on Tuesdays, they have the prayer meeting. And I'm going over there. I like going over. I just like being in the presence of the miraculous myself. Remember, I'm here for open heaven because God said there's an open heaven here. And so God is using me as an intercessor in spirit warfare. So see, you don't know what God want to use you for. Just do it. Now, by you being with me, those of you that are part of this 10-line ministry, I don't even know who all of you are. I'm going to talk about that when we come out the fast. But God has put us together to do a work for him. And it doesn't matter. All I am is the point man, the point woman, whatever you want to call me. Because I'm not afraid to go out there and pioneer and go first and cut the trail. Cut the trail so that everybody else can navigate that trail without so many problems. Because the trail being cut and bathed in intercession. So then God is able to do what? He's able to do miracles. Because see, some of you don't understand why God does miracles. God does miracles to boost your faith. God wants to boost your faith in the power of the finished work of the cross so that we will know that it is his desire for all of his people to walk in the knowledge of himself in order that the commission of Mark chapter 16, 17, and 18 won't just be words on a page, but God wants Mark 16, 17, 18 to be a daily reality in your life. A daily reality in your life, because Mark 16, 17, 18 says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. You got to still do that. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, will recover. The blessings of God are for all, and healing It's just one of those blessings. Started the healing miracles. He started the healing blessings in your life. He started to build your faith last night. I love it. Because the Bible says, surely he has borne, suffered for our grief, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Why? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:4-5. In a prophetic fulfillment of the healing power of Jesus, I should say Jesus' suffering, Peter writes, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It's done. And healing all at once. Jesus not only bore our sins in his body, but also surely bore our sicknesses. Although we see and acknowledge Christ's suffering for our healing and cleansing, we got to also see him as the overcoming one. Jesus didn't merely suffer. Please post this in that chat room. Jesus conquered sin, disease, death, and the grave. I'm going to repeat it so you can get it. Jesus didn't just suffer. Jesus conquered sin, disease, death, and the grave. Feed your eyes. Through your own natural eyes, have to begin to see Jesus as the victorious Jesus Christ who fulfilled God's plan, who was crucified, died, was buried, descended into hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave out of the hands of the devil, and then rose up on the third day with resurrection power, power over all sickness, power over all disease, power over sin, hallelujah, and glory to God, power over death. Jesus, post this in that chat room, Jesus has all power over hell and everything under the earth. Jesus has all power in heaven and throughout the airwaves. Jesus has all power over the seas and any kind of stinking marine kingdom. Jesus has all power over all flesh. And Jesus has all power over this earth. And this is how you have to see Jesus with your own eyes, with your own heart. And this is how you have to see Jesus through the eyes of your heart, by way of your spiritual eyes. You've got to see Jesus as having taken away all curses of the law. And with that, you have to see Jesus as having redeemed you. You have to see the truth of the risen Jesus so that you can once again come into the blessings of Abraham and the blessings that God sent Jesus to bless you with, making you whole in your body, in your soul, and within your spirit. Hallelujah. That would be found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Jesus overcame and attained your victory. O over your sin, over your sickness, and over your disease. You have to see Jesus. You have to see Jesus as your resurrected, victorious Savior. You have to see Jesus as already having overcome then, and you must see Jesus coming Lord and Savior now, 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 now faith is. You have to see Jesus as your overcoming Lord and Savior now that has everything of himself within you. Hello, did you hear me? I'm going to repeat the part you need to put in the chat room. You have to see Jesus coming Lord and Savior that has everything of himself within you. Did you get me? You have to stop. Say, I got to stop relating to Jesus as suffering, afflicted, wounded, Jesus on the cross. Yes, Jesus was afflicted. Yes, Jesus did suffer. Jesus was wounded. Look, but was. Jesus was wounded. Was. Jesus was, did you get that? I don't see it. Jesus was wounded. Isaiah is saying that surely, in the same way that Jesus has suffered for your and my iniquities, yeah, he was beaten for our sicknesses. After our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered and died, guess what? Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered it. And he rose victoriously over sin and disease. So you and I can now rise up and walk in the victory over these afflictions, over these sufferings, over these wounds, the same enemies that Jesus overcame. You're going to have to see this so that you'll be able to receive that anointing for power. It is absolutely vital that you can see today the overcoming power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered on your behalf. But now, but that now faith is believing. Jesus Christ is the conquering one who has overcome sin, sickness, disease, death, and poverty. And that's who you have to put your faith in, the victorious Jesus. We have to put our faith in the victorious Jesus so that we can receive the blessings of, put this down, sozo and soteria, and S-O-T-E-R-I-A, which is the forgiveness, the liberty, the healing, the being made whole, complete, and lacking nothing that Jesus has provided for all of us through his atoning sacrifice, a sacrifice freely given so that you and I can live a victorious Christian believing life by overcoming sin, sickness, disease, poverty, and death in you and you in him. A miracle in demonstration of God's love toward you in action. Everything in the kingdom of God works by love, faith, power, and the anointing. Your anointing has no lasting value, brothers and sisters, unless it is motivated by love. The Bible says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but, put this down, faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love. That's why it's so important to develop the eyes of your heart so that you are able to see by faith things that don't exist yet on earth. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, Jesus told people that their faith had healed them. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Another person's faith is very important too. Believers can stand in the gap for others who may be too weak or beaten down to fight in faith. By standing in the gap, a believer can exercise faith on the other person's behalf. Consider the noble man's dying son healed because of his father's faith. John 4:47-50. Faith in Jesus requires you to have faith in Jesus and in Jesus' desire and ability to save, heal, deliver everyone. This is a vital ingredient for healing miracles. A miracle is God's love in action. Can you write that down in the chat room? A miracle is God's love in action. You see, a miracle is a tangible demonstration of God's love in action and reality. That was a miracle that happened to some of you last night. Why? Because God crept up on you and caught you believing. God looked down from heaven and said, oh, that one is believing. That one is believing. Oh, that one is believing. They believe him. That is too painful for them. At last, I've been waiting for them to acknowledge that to me. And the minute you did, he set you free. It wasn't no long. I'm not preaching. I'm teaching this morning. I've been, you know what? You've been set up. You were set up for a miracle last night. God set you up for himself, for a miracle. What is a miracle? God's love in action. Again, everything in the kingdom of God works by love, faith, and power. The anointing has no lasting value unless motivated by love. The Father's heart of love for his people is the number one reason miracles happen. God's love, expressed through the Abrahamic covenant thousands of years ago, now blesses us in the third millennium, 21st century. It blesses us with salvation, deliverance, healing, prosperity, and liberty. Under this new covenant, we can receive those same blessings because, please write this in the chat room, we are redeemed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This promise right here. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Compassion and tender mercies are what motivate Jesus' ministry. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And Jesus was moved with compassion for them. And Jesus healed their sick. Jesus was moved with compassion towards you last night when you said, it is too painful for me. God stepped in and gave you a miracle. Mark 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. God's covenants, brothers and sisters, are extremely powerful and very sure, because God is a God of his word. God's promises are even surer than his name, than his very nature as God. If God promises something, he does it. It's as simple as that. God's promise of healing, by whose stripes you were healed, is a sure thing. You can stand on it. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Who his own self, Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. God said it. God promised it. God always keeps his covenants, his promises. God's promise is to heal you everywhere you hurt. Exodus 15:26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God promises to heal you. God wants to heal you. God is willing to heal you. I know it seems to be easy to believe that God wants to heal you. But obviously, it's harder to believe that God is healing you. See, you can believe that he wants to heal you. But it's harder to believe that God is healing you. The leprous man said to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus responded, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Remember the Gentile centurion who didn't even have to ask Jesus to heal his servant? Jesus simply said, I will come and heal him. What God wills, brothers and sisters, hostess, what God wills. Nobody, no devil, no demon, no witch, nor can any evil human spirit or evil witchcraft. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing can change what God wills. The disciples prayed for God to release Peter from prison. Remember, we prayed in the spirit last night on one accord. Around this whole nation and world, we prayed on one accord to be released from prison. Somebody knocked at the door. The lady answered it. It was Peter. Their answer to their prayer was so immediate that they didn't even want to believe the girl's report. It can happen just like that for you and your prayers. But you got to believe God for your answers while you're still asking. You got to believe God that God wills it. You got to believe that God wants it. And you got to believe that Jesus is just as willing as God, and the power of the Holy Spirit is right here able to make it happen now, because faith is now. Now faith is. You got to believe in the goodness of God through his son, Jesus. And you got to believe it is God's desire to heal you everywhere you hurt based on his love for you and everybody. You got to believe that God, through Jesus and by the power of his own Holy Spirit, is saying today to each one of us, to you, my son, my daughter, I am willing to be made whole. Spirit, soul, and body. My son, my daughter, be healed, be delivered. I will you to be made whole today. I am willing to heal you. I am willing. Will you receive me as your healer today? You see, the Bible says a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his signs that he performed on those that were afflicted. John chapter 2, verse 6, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his, Jesus' miracles, which he did. Jesus did on them that were diseased. Jesus reached the entire nation of Israel with the good news because Jesus healed all kinds of sickness and disease. And the Bible says Jesus' fame went throughout all of Syria. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. And here's Jesus' fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto Jesus all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he, Jesus, healed them all. You know, brothers and sisters, we tell the world that God is real. We tell the world that God is good. And right now, the world is crying back out to us, those believers of Jesus, those followers of God, they saying, show me. I'm tired of listening to all this talk. Show me. Show me. And Jesus wants to show them. And Jesus wants to show them through you. So that you can show them, just like he showed them. Jesus healed them and reached them, and they followed him. Followed Jesus then, and Jesus wants to heal you, and you reach them. You reach out to them and reach them so that they will follow him. Jesus wants to heal and deliver you so that you then become a demonstration to the world of him. You are supposed to be a demonstration to the world of Jesus. I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be. Say it. I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus. One more time, I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Now repeat this. The healing, miracle working power of God provides convincing proof of God's deity. It proves that he, Jesus, is God. I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be. I am becoming who I'm supposed to be. Conformed to the image and likeness of God my Father. I'm becoming who I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Praise God, brothers and sisters. We are becoming. You are becoming. I am becoming. How is this supposed to take place? Say this. I'm being made by God. I'm being made by God who I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus. I got a lot of stuff to catch up on. I'll catch up on it. Foundation. You're being made by God. Being made what, Erica? An overcomer, of course. You're being made to be a demonstration of Jesus on this earth. Yay! Thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I'll see you tomorrow morning on the 10 line. Don't forget, I'm going to be on Sheila Zelinsky's show Thursday, the 14th, I think. And Shannon show the 15th. But I'm going to do that impartation of power on here, on the TED line, on the 14th in the morning, I think. Might be tomorrow. I'm going to do whatever God say do, but you're going to get a blessing for having made it through this fast. Maybe you came on at the end of the fast. Let me tell you what you can do. If you can do 12 hours dry fast, God honor that. 12 hours, you know, nothing but water. You can do it. You can do it. Communion is Thursday morning. Have your elements ready to Deborah Hill. Every day is a good day with God. See you tomorrow on the 10 line. Now, faith. Now, repent for those things you put off and you procrastinated about. Just repent. Just acknowledge to God you know you didn't do it. You messed up. He's already forgiven you. But it's something about God. He likes us to acknowledge stuff. See you tomorrow.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me.
Yeah.
Over and over, over again.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go. Come
Let's
on.
Try to clap your hands. Come on.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Keep on blessing me.